you're visiting with us this evening, we're glad that you have joined us tonight. We ask that you hang around afterwards, let us kind of get to know you. But what I'd like to do this evening before is to welcome a guest speaker with us this evening. And I need to make this quick. He needs more than an hour or so to deliver his message. So he said, let's see. With the Mission Committee here at Woodland Oaks, we make it an effort to meet face-to-face with all of our mission efforts once a year. At this time today, we have met with Brother Pat Schaefer from the AIM program up in Lubbock, Texas, Adventure in Missions. He is with us. He taught the high school Bible class this morning, and then he'll be bringing a lesson to us this evening. Pat is married. He has three sons, ages 14, 12, and 8, so you can kind of imagine the activity in his house that he has to deal with. Pat is the Assistant AIM Director for the Adventures and Missions. He wears many hats as that role in that program. He's an administrator. He's an instructor. He's a recruiter. He's a disciplinarian, staff coordinator, counselor, you kind of name it. He's kind of has lots to do that he works up there. So kind of without further ado, Pat, it's all yours.
All right, am I on, Brandon? Am I okay? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Hang on a sec. Let me get all my business situated up here, and we'll get rolling. I was here for the second service this morning, the second assembly, and, man, it was good to be in here. I was sitting right over here in this section, and I felt like I was flying on American Airlines across the world, where the seats are about this big, and you can't cross your legs. You can't get comfortable. But I was telling Ken afterwards, I was like, what a fantastic problem. You guys have these chairs pushed so close together, there's no room even to breathe. And my understanding, it's that way at the early service and the late. And I got to tell you, praise God for that problem that you have. And I think God is up to something significant here. And if you're visiting and if you're just checking this place out, don't look any further. Because, man, they've got some awesome folks and God is up to something good here. And so you might be a little crunched right now, but you hang around a while, God's going to grow this thing, not just this building, but this congregation, so this thing can be salt and light all around the Woodlands, all around Houston, and all around Texas, and I'm telling you, all around the world. So, man, I am just tickled pink to get to be here. I guess we're out of November now, but that's still okay to say that, right? You just got a pink shirt on. I'd like to start with a prayer. I don't know all of you. I got to hang out with some of the youth this morning and see them a little bit. And I think we had a good time, didn't we, guys? And I appreciate that. And, man, I was touched by them this morning. And Corey and others are doing a great job with your young people. And but as I was sitting listening to announcements this morning, I heard some of the thinking and the plans and the dreams about this place. But this place is all about people, right? Because God is about people. And there's some plans we saw if you came in, one of those 3D models of the building growing and those kind of thing, building for God's glory kind of thing. And that's exciting. That is exciting. And, man, I can't wait to see what God does in this place. I only get to come down here about once a year, maybe twice a year if I'm fortunate. And but that's exciting. And I want to praise God for that in prayer in just a second. But also I was touched, and correct me if I'm wrong, I wrote down the Smith family. Is that right, who lost their son? Is that right? And also we want to pray for Amanda with a tumor and pray for healing there. And then also I heard a family member of this congregation, Jerry Martinez, saying that right. And let's just start this time with prayer. God, we come with expectant hearts. As your children, your sons and your daughters, God, we praise you for what you're doing in this place. Father, not just growing this family in a larger building, Father, but growing larger hearts in you. And Father, I pray that as you grow this place, Father, that our hearts are grown and knitted together with your purpose and your passion in this world. And it's not just about growing this building, but it's about growing people to the awareness of Jesus in their lives. And Father, we pray especially for the Smith family. Father, I cannot imagine. Father, we pray your richest blessings upon that family. And Father, we pray for Amanda. God, you are the great physician. And Father, we pray for healing of that tumor. And Father, we pray for her family, kids. Father, we pray for Jerry Martinez. God, problems, I think, if I understood right, just with kidneys and just physical struggles. Father, we know there are others among us who are in sorrow or sadness. Father, others who are suffering and hurting. God, we just pray your presence and your power in our lives. Help us to be aware of your working and of your leadership and of your spirit moving in our hearts and our lives. We love you, Father, and we thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, I grew up in Oklahoma, just across the border up there near Oklahoma City, and I was probably about fourth or fifth grade, and it was on a Sunday night, and I remember much night like this, and I remember a missionary coming to town. And I remember that it was kind of like show and tell. You know, he kind of came and brought all his neat things that he had, all of his pictures. Of course, they were on the old slide thing, you know, the carousel. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? The little drop-in, little celluloid pictures, and click, 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 click. And you remember those kind of things. And the Jewel Miller fin strips and all those kind of things for you guys who go back a ways. And I remember seeing that and being impressed. But I remember also it was kind of like show and tell in fourth grade. You got a new something, and so you take it and, you know, on Fridays, and you said, here's my show and tell. And you told what was so neat about that. And that's kind of how I grew up learning about missionaries. That was kind of my idea of what a missionary was. You know, they come from exotic places and strange lands and speak different languages, eat different foods, and have different customs and those kind of things. They travel many thousands of miles to do that. Well, I want you to know what? I am your missionary, at least one of them. And I, too, come from exotic lands, you know, like this one right here. Don't know if you've been there, but it's not the promised land. I think God forgot to promise that land. And but that's where I have been working for about the last 9 years. I'll talk about that here in a second. You probably don't recognize me. I've been here before, but you see, I'm kind of practicing that principle that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 9, you becoming all things to all men, because this, I don't normally look like this. Since I work with young people kind of like you guys, you know, I really kind of look like this all the time, my wife too. And so I kind of tried to clean up tonight and look presentable, but, you know, Monday through Friday, this is kind of what we look like. That'd be awful. I know God loves them. I know God does. That's not really myself or Melissa, but, man, you work with, hang out with young people, and you certainly want to identify with them, but I'm not sure this is the way to do it, okay? Actually, the lady who I say is Melissa, my wife, that's not really her, but I actually met that lady in Scotland. And she supposedly is the most tattooed person in the world. And I got to tell you, she smelled horrible. And I don't know if she takes all those things out of her face or whatever, but it was not a real great experience, to be honest with you. But I am delighted to be here. And you may only get to see me once or twice a year, but I want to tell you about some good things, and I'll talk about that in a minute. I kind of want to have a show and tell tonight. So roll back your clock, pretend you're in fourth grade, okay, try to sit there, and if you kind of start falling asleep, man, that's all right, so I'm going to tell you about the good stuff when you wake up, okay, hopefully you'll feel a little better when you wake up, if you take a little nap, and that's okay, and I will do my best to get out here by 6:50-ish or so, all right, but you can see what Paul says in Philippians, and this is the way that Melissa and I feel, and our family, our boys, for what you're partnering with us in this specific missions ministry, and I am a missionary. It's not about where you are, it's about what you do and about who you are in him and the intentionality of living your life for a life lived with glory and honor of God. But you can see what he says, I thank my God every time I remember you with all joy because of your participation or your partnership in the gospel from the beginning until now. And tonight, that's kind of what I'd like to talk about for a few minutes, if you'd let me, okay? And so that's the direction we're going this evening. There we go. These really are pictures of my family. We were here back last May, last year, 2010. Got to hang out for a while. Got to stay with the Giddens. Great family. We had a lot of fun with their kids and climbed up and down their laundry chute a couple dozen times. Swam in the pool, ate their food, and had a great time. And but on behalf of my family who aren't here this weekend, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. Thank you for blessing us, those who you don't see often, doing things that sometimes you hear about, but I think that only eternity will truly tell of what God has been doing. And I want to kind of show and tell tonight this partnership, if I can, with you guys for just a little while. So we want to say thanks. Paul mentioned my oldest son, Noah, is about 14 years old, looks like Justin Bieber. And we are having to keep him locked down and inside the house at all times. Since he looks like Justin Bieber, he doesn't sing like Justin Bieber, but we have a lot of fun with him. Luke is 12 years old. He could be a politician or a preacher. Maybe those are kind of the same thing. I'm not sure. Just a really composed kid, really a lot of fun. And then Titus is our 8-year-old boy. And the backyard has foxholes, has tree houses, has forts, has all kinds of things that little kids just love to do. And life is just a lot of fun. Melissa is just a joy. And I'll kind of tell you about our story here in just a second. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. Kind of give you a little bit of background on where we came from. A little bit, you can kind of see the slides that comes up there. I'm going to talk about the Adventures and Missions Program. Talk about it with the youth for a little bit this morning, and I'd like to share a little bit with that about you tonight. You might be thinking about what in the world is the AIM program and why are we supporting this program, and that's kind of what I want to show and tell. There's just kind of about a background the last 20 years or so, a little more than 20 years. I went to the AIM program. I was 21 years old in 1988 and went to do this thing I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, and studied down in Lubbock and then went overseas. I stayed over in Lisbon, Portugal for 3 years as a missionary apprentice. I came back, and Melissa and I got married. She also was in the AIM program the year after me, and we got married after AIM, and then we came back and studied at Sunset School of Preaching, as it was called back then, and I worked on staff with AIM and worked as a youth minister for a while, and then we went through some missions and got all of our schooling done. And then we formed a team of all ex-AIM students, and we went down to Guadalajara, Mexico. And we went down and started planting churches in Guadalajara, Mexico back in 1998. And in 2003, I was invited to come back and to work for the AIM program as one of the directors. And that's what I've been doing about the last 9 years or so. And that's kind of my background, kind of the backstory. If you don't know who I am, I'm certainly not the guy with the big nose, earring, tattooed thing. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's not me. So this is me. That's kind of where I've come from. But this morning in our youth class, we were kind of talking about this idea of just good news. And we went to Luke chapter 4. Remember that, guys? Went to Luke chapter 4, and Jesus gets up, and he declares his purpose. He opens up the scroll of Isaiah, and he starts to read, and he declares, "This is why I've come. I've come to preach and share the good news. I've come to tell people about the Christ." And, of course, we know that he was the Christ, right? And then right out of the box, he started doing that. He started going out and touching the lepers. He got and healing the blind and all those kind of folks that he went into. And so he's proclaiming the good news. And he is the good news. And he came to seek and save the lost, like he talks about in Luke chapter 19 with Zacchaeus. And we talked about that. And tonight, I like that idea of just a good news journey. And I want to start with a question. And I wish this was kind of a situation where we're sitting in your living room, not in mine, because mine's not that big. Maybe yours is a little bit bigger. We're sitting in your living room, and we had the ability to be able to talk to one another. Because my question to you tonight is, has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? You guys really are asleep, aren't you? None of you guys got naps today, all right? I think it's okay. I don't want to get in trouble here with the elders, all right? But is it okay to answer that question? Has God been good to you? God's been very good to you, hasn't he? God's been very good to you. Regardless of where you are in your life, what's going on in your 401k, what's going on with your kids, what's going on in the world, what's happening with the elections, what's going on, God has been good to us because of Jesus. And that's the good news, right? And you remember, if you keep on reading to the Gospels, you run into this guy. In fact, I think I maybe talked about him last time I was here. I'm not really sure. I can't remember. But this guy named Legion, who was in the tombs and who was cutting himself, who was bleeding, he was just out of control, had all sorts of issues. And then he saw Jesus and he ran to him and fell at his feet. And he said, "Jesus, what would you do with me?" Jesus said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He had all kinds of problems going on. An encounter with Jesus found that man sitting and clothed and in his right mind. You remember that story? You remember that story, Luke chapter 8, Mark chapter 5? Well, see, what happened was that man had been living life. And up to that point, his life had not been good. There was no good news in his life until he had an encounter with Jesus. Until he had an encounter with Jesus. Right? Now, who's had an encounter with Jesus in here? Well, you all have, right? That's why you're here. You all have had an encounter with Jesus, and you know him to be your Lord. This guy didn't. But once he had an encounter with Jesus, it changed his life. It changed his life. We were talking about this morning, weren't we? We're talking about knowing Jesus, the kind of Jesus that the gospel talks about, all right? And really knowing him, not just knowing some things about him, but knowing him in such a way that really changes your life. Because that's what happened to that guy. You remember that? That demonic guy, he was sitting down clothed in his right mind. He was listening to Jesus. And you remember what he did? Jesus said, all right, guys, time to go. Let's load up, get in the boat. Let's get out of here. We've got other places to go. Do you remember what that used-to-be demonic guy did? Oh, you know your Bible. He walked up and Jesus says, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. Why? Because his life had been touched and transformed by the power of Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus' response was? All right, let's go. Come on. Right, let's come on. Get in the boat. That's not what he said, was it? He said, no. No. He says, tell you what you do. You stay here and you tell of all the good things that God has done in your life, the grace that he's given you, and the way he's been good to you. And thus begin his good news journey. So my question to you, has God been good to you? Yes, God's been good to you. In Jesus. And now the challenge of that, folks, is to live that out. Whether you're 16, whether you're 65, or whether you're 95, you live out the goodness of Jesus in your life regardless of what's going on around you. Because in Jesus, we talked about this morning, is the peace that passes all understanding. Right? And so I want to share a good news journey, not just from the perspective of Legion, but from this thing that we call AIM, Adventures in Missions. Okay? So that's what I want to talk about just for a few minutes tonight, if you'd allow me. The Adventures in Missions program. Talk about the good news, the good things that God's been doing through that with young people, just like these guys over here, okay? You may be thinking, well, what in the world is AIM? Well, I'll get there in just a second, okay? Let me back up just a little bit. How many of you have ever heard of Sunset International Bible Institute or Sunset School of Preaching? Yeah, most of us have, right? Up in Lubbock in no man's land, all right? Up there where it's all dusty and we need to take back some of your trees. I wish I could put one of those on the plane and take it back with me. But we don't have any up there. But I'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to kind of step back a little bit. The AIM program is just a department of Sunset International Bible Institute. And it was started in 1961. They tell me, now I didn't count them, but there's over 30,000 students studying in SIBI courses around the world right now. Okay? And I kind of want to just give some of us who kind of know what Sunset is just kind of an overview. Sunset basically has three divisions. Their primary division is in Lubbock, and you can see the different departments they have there in that division. There's 150 students right now up in Lubbock, Texas, at the Sunset Church of Christ. Sunset Church of Christ and Sunset International Bible Institute partner together. They're not the same entity. One's a church, one's a school. But they partner together to do all these ministries. The School of Preaching, the same program, which is Senior Adventures in Ministry, which is folks who are older than me, and retired, and with no children in the home. There's a deaf program. There's an AIM program, which we'll talk about in a minute. There's a women's program, a school leadership program. Another division is what they call the external division. There's 110 satellite schools. You can see in 46 states and 24 countries, as well as online studies. The international division, I know this is kind of dry and boring. We're going to get to the good stuff in just a second, okay? Are you with me? You guys are so good. There's associate schools, there's 40-plus schools in 27 different nations, there's video conferencing sites, 21 schools in 11 countries. So what I'm saying, guys, is what God is doing up in Lubbock around the world is pretty significant. And what I'm talking about tonight with AIM program is just a little tiny drop in the bucket. But I'm telling you, it's God's bucket, and it's a good drop. And so I want to show and tell. Are you with me? Okay, good, because I'm about to fall asleep, so you guys keep me awake. So what in the world is AIM? What in the world is AIM? I kind of wanted to read something here. This comes from the 12-year-old girl. Her name is Marnie. And she is the sister of an AIM student currently in Bolivia. This is what she says. Bolivia, New Zealand, Ukraine. What in the world? She wrote this, by the way, for a school project paper in public schools. Why would you go to some foreign country and live there for 18 months? Well, that's because that's what God called AIMers to do. AIM is a program in Lubbock, Texas, where college-age adults can go for 5 months to learn the Bible, and I mean really intensely learn the Bible. And then for 4 months, they build relationships with the people that they'll go to those countries with. And then for 18 months, they go to a foreign country, preach the Bible, do charity work, and just about anything Christianly they can find to do. She goes on to say, she says some same things I was going to say, but here's what she says. In the first stage of their AIM journey in Lubbock, they intensely learn the Bible through deep Bible studies and prayer. They need to learn the Bible well enough to answer questions that people may have. They become closer to God, and they go ahead and pull the planks out of their own eyes before they try to pull the specks out of other people's eyes. Please see Matthew 7, 5. This 12-year-old girl. Getting closer to God helps them later when they need a good relationship with God to help them through hard times. The second stage is what they call team building. You see it kind of right there. The aimers don't go all to one place, and they don't go all to different places. They go in different groups to different countries so they can spread God's word all over the world. But before they can go off together, they need to build up relationships between each other, to get to know each other, to trust each other. They need to make sure they work well together and get along. Otherwise, it might be a really long 18 months when they're on the field. You can see up here, I kind of put some detail. We have 3 8-week terms. In those 8-week terms, we have 12 core classes. We figured out it's about 600 hours of classroom time. It does not include homework, and there is homework. So if you guys think about coming to AIM, you're going to go to work. It's not going to be vacation, okay? It's going to be work. Why? Because we're in the Word. Why? Because the world needs the Word, right? Because the world needs Jesus. And we stick them in what we call area churches where they can kind of work in small groups and teams. They don't just stay at sunset on Sunday. We send them out to about 7 other congregations, and they work there for 5 months every Sunday. And they just go there, and they serve, and they love. They make coffee. They clean toilets. They kiss old babies. No, old babies. They kiss babies. They work with older folks. They sing in nursing homes, do whatever they're going to do to get their hands dirty to love people like Jesus did. So it's not just cerebral. It's heart and hands also. We do that with them every weekend. She talked about the second phase, which is team building. That'll happen in January through March. And you see up there, we do all kinds of things with them, small group training, evangelism, those kind of things like that. She goes on to say this. Well, now, after all this, they're off to the field where they all use their training and relationship building to glorify the Lord. My big sister is in this stage right now. She's living in Sucre, Bolivia. Each team does different things in their field depending on the country's needs and how God's love is best shown in that specific country. In Bolivia, my sister's team does what's called the El Camino, and they give out free coffee and offer free Bible studies, and people have accepted both. This alone has reached out to many. They also swim. I don't know if she meant to say this, but that's what she says. They also swim with the defected orphan children. My sister's only in the third month of her 18 months in which she'll be in Bolivia. But so far, she and her team love it. Amy's a great experience that I hope someday I'll get to go through when I am older. The way the Aimers show God's love all around the world is so amazing. Aimers is a great program, and I'm glad I got to tell you about it. Marnie Williams. What do you think about that? That's kind of cool, isn't it? And so that's kind of what AIM is in a nutshell. Let me give you kind of a backstory on AIM. Again, just to kind of give you some history here. The AIM program began in 1973 when 16 young people, just like these guys right here. By the way, let me brag on your youth for a second, okay? I get to go to a lot of places. Preaching is not my thing. Ken is much better than I am, but I love to be with young people. And I got to be with yours this morning, and there was probably 18, almost 20 of them in there this morning, and we were jumping into Luke chapter 4, and I said, okay, guys, go to Luke chapter 4, and I started looking, and like everyone started opening things up, and normally in a group of this size, they just kind of sit there and look at you, but they started looking at the Word, and I was so impressed. We were talking about being amazed, right, guys? I was so amazed. I was flabbergasted. I was dumbfounded that every single one of them had a Bible. And you're thinking, well, they should. They come to church. I'm telling you what, I go to churches. Kids don't bring their Bibles. Kids don't bring their Bibles. Kids don't read their Bibles. Kids don't read their Bibles. Kids don't live life the way the Lord intended. So good for you. Good for you. Proud of you. Good stuff, man. Is Corey here tonight? You need to give him a hug and a kiss. Anything else appropriate for loving on these guys the way that the Lord intended. So good stuff. Anyway, 16. Oh, goodness gracious. I'm going fast. You can see up there, 16 young people back in 1973 stood up and said, hey, I want to make a difference. Devos are good, but it's not enough. They went to the Sunset Elders, and the Sunset Elders sent them to the School of Preaching. The School of Preaching trained them. They went to Dublin, Ireland, stayed there for about a year. 19 souls were brought to the Lord, and they came on back, but that paved the way for the future generations of what we call the Adventures in Missions Program. Here's some statistics for you guys to see. Since 1973, there have been almost 1,800 young people come to the program. Not all of those went to the field. 1,300 of them we have sent to different fields around the world. You see some of those here in just a minute. We've sent them to 183 different mission points. That's in 70 different countries. 46 different states. Pretty impressive stats, aren't they? Pretty impressive stats. God is up to something. God is up to something. And I got to tell you, though, the most impressive thing is that number right there, I think, is that God is glorified. Because that's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. That God is working through the lives of young people like this, through people like you, to step into the world and tell people about Jesus. That's good stuff, guys. That's good stuff. Let me tell you about this right here. AIM, and your partnership with me and what I get to be a part of in that place, this is what God has been up to. Since 2003, when you guys really started partnering with AIM, let me tell you, God has been working at 33 different fields, 33 different nations, all right, and 11 stateside fields. All right, I can't put all the dots on there because they'd just be one big yellow and red mass. All right, through this partnership, God has been reaching out around the world through young people just saying, hey, here I am. Here I am. And I want to say thank you for that partnership. Show and tell tonight, fourth grade, you're there, right? You're with me. All right, you guys remember this. I was talking about your hands-on partnership. Last several years, you guys have been so gracious to host what we call an AIM Challenge Week. And we send you down some AIM students. You get to, they get to hang out with you, and you put them to work. Hopefully, if you don't, we need to talk about that. But you put them to work, and you spend a week with them. They spend a week with you. You reach into their lives. They reach into yours and also around this community. You guys spent time with them, didn't you? Because you guys remember these guys like this, these four AIM guys that came down here. And not my notes. We get to love them for about 8 months, and then we kick them out of the door. They go home, hug mom and dad, kiss the dog, jump on a plane, jump on a car, and they go to their mission field. These four guys who were here back last March are now in Guadalajara, Mexico, changing lives. Every single one of them had Bible studies. Every single one of them have stepped out of their comfort zone. Every single one of them have been trying to live the love of Jesus in the lives of other people. Tell you what, God is doing something significant with little ding-a-ling dudes like those guys up there. God is up to something, and you're involved in that. Every year, let me give some stats real quick. Average AIM student of AIM, average age of an AIM student is 19 years old. Average class size each year, we have one class a year. It begins in August and ends in April. But you can see the average class size is about 50. We lose about 10 to 15% each year, either to immaturity, either to sin, or I'm just not ready for this yet. Cool thing here is that about every class that comes through, about 25% of those go into full-time ministry when they come back. Pretty cool, all right? A neat, exciting thing for me, and it's also a very painful thing, is that, you know, we were talking about this in our missions meeting, and I didn't make up these numbers. You can check these numbers out. But in our Churches of Christ, our young people who are going away to college right now, about 73% of them leave the Lord. Now, if we think that a college education is success and fruit, then that's good for them. But I'm telling you what, I think the Lord wants our young people to be faithful to the Lord. Not just for a couple years, but for the rest of their life. And what we see when these guys come back, we start to see what they're doing, what they're going into. They go into college, they go into ministry, they just go on this thing called life. But 85% of them remain faithful after going through the AIM program. God is doing something significant in that place. That's pretty exciting. That's good news, okay? Go to college. Go to college. Man, you just glorify God in your life. You look at this class right here. This, I know you can't see them. It's kind of far off. This is the class who got there in August. You can see there's 48 of them, 32 ladies and 16 guys. They come from 14 states and three foreign countries. I don't know what you see when you look at this picture. It's kind of hard to see. They're kind of far off, but just look right over here. You guys stand up for me real quick. You're my example. Stand up for me. Turn around and look at your family. Now, I want you to imagine there's 48 of these guys, 32 ladies and 16 men, and this will be our AIM class. They're about their age. You guys aren't quite 19 yet, but you'll be there in just a couple years, right? Okay, you guys have a seat. Thanks. All right? This is what we get to work with every day. This is who God brought to us this year in April. I don't know what you see when you see these guys. Youth? Inexperience? Potential problems? I tell you what, I think God sees more than that. I think God sees past that. I think God sees the potential in them. I think God sees their willingness and their open hearts and their serving hands. And just to say, here I am. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, but here I am. And I'm telling you what, That kind of faith challenges my faith. That kind of a spirit, that kind of a heart challenges my life. And I tell you what, let me tell you about a young lady real quick. I'm trying to move as quick as I can. I'm getting tongue-tied, and I apologize for that. I'm telling you what. One of the reasons I love working in this mission ministry, because of people like this young lady I'm going to read you about. Just someone like some of you, perhaps. She came to us from back east, and she told us her story. She lived next door to some Christians. They weren't young, and they weren't really exuberant, but they were faithful. Her father had died about 10 years ago. Her mother is Muslim, and she has a younger brother. And those neighbors who were just like some of you, just faithful, good folks, began to recognize the need in her life, and they came and talked to that family. The mother was not open. The young girl, though, however, was. She started going to church against her mother's wishes, even against her mother's threats. And then she decided to come do this thing called AIMS. She finally learned about it from somebody. Actually, it was from her neighbors who, her preacher told her about it, who was from an ex-AIMer. She said, hey, that might be something I'd like to do. She went home and told Mom. Mom says, oh, don't you think about that for one second. You will not do that. Well, she did. I just got this letter from her mom. Hello, this is, I'll call her Dana. Hello, this is Dana's mom. I just wanted to say, by the way, this letter was sent to myself and to the other director. I just want to say how incredibly upset I am because Dana has turned into something I do not like. She told me that she cannot deny her God before people and that this will jeopardize her relationship with me and my family. She always tells me that she's praying for me and she loves me, but she does not love me because she would not have left us if she did. I will never forgive her or accept her as my daughter again, and I'm so angry that you Christians would take her from me. Well, you wanted her to come, and now she's there, and she won't know how to handle life, and it'll be all up on your shoulders when she has a poor job and is living on the streets because this program does not teach her anything about life, paying her bills. So she's your daughter now. I no longer want to hear from her or any of you, so please tell her she's not welcome. She's not welcome in this home. Also, she is not to send me any more messages because I'm sick and tired of hearing what she's doing there for her God. I don't care what happens to her, and also I'll make things very hard for her if she keeps trying to talk to me. Thanks. I talked to Dana a couple days ago. And I said, hey, can I share your story with some folks? She didn't know I was going to read that letter because she didn't know about that letter from her mom. I just asked Dana, has God blessed your life? Has God been good to you? The same question I asked you. Now let me ask you, has God been good to Dana or has life been pretty rough? God's still good, but life's still rough. Listen to this. This is what Dana says. If I tried to write down all the blessings that God has given me just over the past few months, I'd be able to write a book. What I will say, however, is that I thought it was impossible to get where I am right now in AIM. Raised in a family that was not part of the church, Muslim, in fact. I felt stuck in a world where I was constantly ridiculed because of my faith in Christianity. I heard about the AIM program, but I just knew there would be no way for me to get there. Well, guess what? God made a way. He took an impossible situation like mine and opened the doors for me to be and to come in Lubbock, Texas and be a part of the AIM program. And I've never felt more at home than I do here. My family won't talk to me anymore, but that's okay because God promised me a family through Christ. And I really have one. I'm sorry. The AIM program, the Sunset Church of Christ, have really shown me what true love is because they've encouraged me and supported me throughout my entire journey. And I'm so thankful that God has made this path in my life. I'm not sure where I'll be or where I'll be going. That's in God's hands. But my faith is stronger now than ever, and I'm prepared to face whatever the hardships future may have in store for me because I want my life to be a living sacrifice to God. I don't know what you hear in that. I hear God's up to something. Don't you? I hear that God's up to something. You know, it's not just with Dana's life. You know, it's happening all around the world. Young people stepping up just like you guys, trying to accomplish the mission of Jesus around the world. South Africa, touching lives and bringing Christ. You know, listen to this. 10 children have now started coming to church in our kids group. They're all just neighborhood kids from the ages of 5 to 10. You see them up there in the left-hand corner. They walk to church without their parents, and some of them are even more consistent than the ones who do come. What a joy to work with children. The right-hand corner up there, in this picture right here. There have also been about 4 baptisms in the youth group here recently. You see those girls up there. Keisha and Leah are up in the right-hand corner. They were just baptized. And Tiffany is with Mariah. Mariah is the aimer right there. Young people going to South Africa, just being who they are for the Lord. God is up to something around the world. And if we had time, we'd talk about this class right now. This class you just saw, this is their picture right here. They've got about a dozen Bible studies going on in Lubbock right now. They're just kids. But they're kids who love the Lord. They're kids who stand up and say, man, whatever it takes, I'm there. They step out of their comfort zone. They step right through fear. They hang on to the robe of Jesus. And they say, let's go have some coffee. And it's happening all around town. And it's happening all around the world. I wish I had time to tell you about this lady right here. Her name is Rachel. Really cool story. I had the email. I know I can't read it. I know I'm already out of time. But this kid on the right there, his name is Jeff. He was in last year's AIM class. He's now in South Africa. But about in February of last year, Jeff went out to eat to Chick-fil-A. And he, one of his classmates, they were leaving Chick-fil-A. They saw a lady sitting in a wheelchair beside the road. They went and said, hey, are you doing okay? You need anything to eat? She had a big old smile on her face. And they found out that she loved the Lord too. But she was homeless and helpless. And so he tried to get with her and tried to see if he could do something. But we keep him so busy in AIM, he couldn't hardly get back with her. Shame on me for doing that, right? Well, all the while, we didn't know this, but Jeff contacted Rachel, and Rachel said, hey, I'm working with another missionary here in town, and she's trying to get me fixed up and cleaned up so I can start a job interview so I can get off the streets. And Jeff said, hey, that's really cool, man. It's neat to see God work in your life. Well, about 2 days later, Jeff goes into our AIM office, sitting there talking. He's talking about this girl named Rachel, this lady named Rachel. There's one of our AIM students who's standing on the other side of her. Her name is Lene. Lene says, who are you talking about? She says, I'm talking about Rachel. She says, what, Rachel? Well, Rachel, you know Rachel. And they started, and Lene was the missionary who was helping Rachel. They didn't even know it. Man, and he says this. He says, look at the way that God works. We were finally able to study with her before we left. And then as we began to study, she realized her deep need for the Lord, and she decided to be baptized. So the day before I left Lubbock, we got to baptize Rachel into Christ. Story humbles me so much because I didn't do anything like this. This was God's work just through willingness. All I really did was just catch her as she was coming out of the water. AIM has taught me a lot of things, one of which is just how much it's not about AIM. It's really about the value of walking by faith and trusting God. They stress that AIM is just simply a tool that God has used to reach and teach me and to encourage me to step out of my comfort zone and has blessed me with the opportunities like this to further his kingdom. Rachel's story shows me how active God truly is and how he uses just normal people like me. Show and tell. Show and tell. And man, I wish I had time because the story is all around the world. I could read letters and letters and letters and letters of how what is going on through this partnership in that place, God taking young people, standing up and going around the world. God is up to something good. Good news. Good news like we talked about this morning. But you know, something happened October 31st. You remember October 31st? We call it, no, we don't. We call it the day the world turned 7 billion people. It wasn't just the scary people walking around in costumes. It was the hurt, the broken, the dying, the needed people. Man, folks, our world population turned over 7 billion folks. 7 billion people. Like the people we talked about this morning in Bible class. The lepers, the lonely, the hurting, the wounded, the outcast, the one that Jesus came to love and to heal and to touch. And so the question I ask is, who will go? Who will go? And who will stand up? Who will stand up? Who will stand up and say, I will go? Because, see, I'm convinced, you guys, it's just not about those places you saw on that map. It's just not about those young people in Lubbock. It's about his church. It's about his kingdom. It's about this family. It's about this youth group. It's about us standing up just like someone did of old. You remember the story, 2 Samuel chapter 17. I'm almost done. Hang with me. Just another minute, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 17. You remember that story, right? David and Goliath. David was but a youth. Here, David, take this food up to your brothers. They're up on the battle lines fighting the enemy. They weren't fighting anybody except themselves, right, in their own fear. Because they took their eyes off of what God had them to do and looked at their own inabilities and took a little boy coming up with a sack lunch saying, what's going on here? Right? Probably looked something like this. I don't know who drew that picture. But it took a young David-like faith stepping up when others sat down and saying, this is all about God's glory. Let's go to work. It's about young people like Mariah going to South Africa, loving young people, teaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus. Good news. Good news. Good news. I don't know where you are on your journey. I'm done with my show and tell, okay? I don't know where you are on your journey. I know there's hurting folks in here. And I also know there's folks who are standing up in here, all right? And you know what I'm saying. There are people who are willing to take a stand when others are sitting idly by, all right? And I know that there are those of us in here that I think we've made that decision. But the good news is Jesus. The good news, he says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. I will give you that peace that we prayed about this morning. Take my yoke upon you, right, and learn from me, for I am gentle. You shall find rest with me. And I don't know where you are with the Lord. I don't know if your life is a good news journey or not. If you got Jesus, it's good news. If you don't have Jesus, you need him. You need him. Because that's the answer to the good news journey. Just like the man in Luke chapter 8 who had the demonic problems in his life. Man, we all have issues. I know that. Can Jesus take care of those? At whatever stage of life you're in, whether you're young, whether you're middle-aged, whether you're experienced aged, you're never too old to stand up. You're never too young to stand up. The good news, folks, is Jesus. Good news is Jesus. Man, thanks for letting me share tonight. I'm sorry for going over. Please forgive me. I tell you what, I'll take it. I won't come back for another year. How's that? Okay? Listen, I honestly want to ask you to pray. Pray for this mission ministry. Pray for more young people like you guys to stand up. Pray for more folks like us to send those folks out. And pray for us to have that kind of courage to stand up wherever we are, whenever we are, and love Jesus so the world will know him. Man, if this body can do anything for you tonight, man, we want to do that. Any way we can help you or serve you, if you want to give your life to him, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.